Today on Real Radio.
There's Goliaths running around in our lives. And they're always yelling at us. And sometimes I think we become too accustomed to their voice. We've almost accepted them living in our house. They yell, they hoot, they holler. They say things about our God. They make fun of the verses that we go to.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We've been in a multi-part mini-series taken from chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. It's the famous account of young David actually running toward the battle between Israel and the Philistines, and the ultimate demise of Goliath of Gath, their so-called champion. Remember that story? So let's continue now, as Pastor Jack brings us more of this mini-series called Winning the Battles of Life.
People, that's God. Did you hear what he's saying in Deuteronomy 1:30 and 31? Come on, I'll carry you. Christians, let's wake up. I tell you, we're going to wake up. It's better to wake up now while we're hearing it. Lest God shake the earth and he really gets our attention. Be seated firm. Know your foundation. Our God is great. He's strong. He will stand for us. We just need to understand what that means. Sometimes through miraculous deliverance, like he did with Steve as those terrorists were coming in behind the fence that one night. So gently sometimes does God do a miracle. It appears to be something natural. Or we're living in the days when God says in the scriptures, men will hate one another and turn on each other. Evil days, days of terror. He's a powerful God we serve. And he loves. And yeah, and everybody's upset and everybody's concerned about things. But you know what? Our Goliath, in this case, he dies. And that's a good thing. And the things in our lives, they need to die. Maybe God wants to do some killing, so to speak, tonight with the things that trouble us. But the power of God, how do I say this in verse 51? We rarely take it seriously. We are guilty as a church, though I love this church. We're guilty. In verse 51, therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword. People, David didn't have a sword. Whose sword is it? He took Goliath's sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him. Notice the stone didn't kill him. Who killed him? David killed him by the power of God. The stone stunned him. No doubt there was an angel, an angelic propellant behind the stone, okay? But David ran toward the battle. Christian, listen, we're so used to running away from the battle. I fear that we have weakened our position, even as a nation, let alone as a church, or let alone as a person, or let alone as a family. We run away from the battle in fear. We need to believe our God and advance forward. It's just that our implements are spiritual implements, okay? Told you this before, I'll say it again. I don't care how many nuclear bombs we have. We're not going to win this war unless people pray. You understand that? It doesn't matter. There was a terrorist attack in France, in Paris. And Jacques Chirac sent a message to the king of Saudi Arabia. You know what that message said? If there's one more terrorist attack that we find linked to Saudi Arabia in any way, shape, or form, did you read it? We will bomb Mecca. There has not been one terrorist attack in France since. Okay, you say, well, see, it works, it works. Only for a season. This is a spiritual war. America's involved in a spiritual war. She better wake up and pray. Because right now she's falling asleep, or she's asleep, trusting in weapons and bombs and stealthy things. And little remote control airplanes that take pictures. That's what we trust in. We got satellite technology while this lunatic's running around on a donkey. Who's winning the war? Don't be surprised if this fall, I told you, terrorist bombs go off in malls across America around November or December. Who's going to win the war then? You can't send bombers to Saudi or Iraq or anywhere else when you ain't got people buying products at home. It fuels the economy that keeps it going. Think about it. You law enforcement officers, you already know about it. Who's winning the war? I do not believe America will win this until we get on our face and pray. And until we have a president that stands up and says, you know, we're not going to pray to every kind of Jim Jaw God in the universe. I'm sick and tired of this ecumenical bozo-ness. You know, we're praying to the God of the kangaroo rat, and we're praying to the God of this and the God of that. And let's all get together and hold hands. And you pray to this God, and we have some big prayer rally, and you pray to all these things. God is not going to listen. He says, if my people who are called by my name, he says, my name. God has not only told us that he's got a name, he told us his name. I was in Germany a couple weeks ago, and I asked a Muslim man, what is Allah's name? Allah is Arabic for God. That's all it is. It's a title, God. What's his name? Well, Allah. I said, I thought Allah means God. He said, it does. In Arabic, it's God. But what's his name? Because he doesn't have a name. We don't know his name. Think about it. Broke my heart. Why should I stand in a room and I know the name of my God and the nature of my God? He's a loving God. He doesn't want the world to perish. He wants the world to have life. And the world is saying, Islam, 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 submit, submit. To who? Goliath, what do you want? Who do you want us to surrender to? The poor man is hopeless. He's got an entourage of gods that can't help him. I've got quite a few bucks saved up, Pastor Jack. I don't need your God. I'll take care of it on my own. Or I've got some gold coins, or I've got some land, or I've got some time, or I've got some whatever. Listen, be careful. Listen, we rarely by faith take on our problems. Did you hear how I said that? We rarely by faith take on our problem. It's our problem, but we belong to God. He's gone to great lengths to tell us that, which now what's bugging you is his problem. Have you noticed? This morning I got up early, drove down to the property, got my Bible out, read this chapter that we're in and a few other chapters of the Bible, looked at the building, and I said, it's too big. I said, God, it's too big. I've been telling this now ever since they put the walls up, I've been telling them, God, I think it's too big. And I've been reminding him, you have a huge, huge problem. Because God, I didn't ask for this. Your thing, it's you, you've done it. And the most beautiful thing about all that's gone on, the more you get behind the scenes, you know God did it. Because if anybody walks around here and says, yeah, we got it taken care of, let me know who they are. Tell me who they are. I want to know. Because I can honestly tell you that person knows nothing about what's going on. God's doing something. And I drive by and I go, Lord, it's so big. And it's so, you know, are you going to be able to do this? You know, what's the thing here? And I start talking to him like he's somebody sitting next to me. And he like nudges me and says, hey, I'm not somebody sitting next to you. I'm sitting on a throne up here. I started something, and I'm going to finish it with or without you. I'm going to do something here that's quite frankly none of your business. It's my business. And when I hear that and I remember that and I look at the Goliath, and it could be whatever. Maybe the Goliath in your life isn't an apparent problem. What if it's a huge, huge blessing that's so huge? It's like, yikes. He says, I got it. I got it. Just keep your hands off it. I got it. Okay. But Lord, will you tell me that about every half hour? Listen, we really take it by faith. David, look what it says. It says that he took a sword. I love this. He took a sword and he drew it out of his sheath and he killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Time out. Wrong, wrong, wrong. That wasn't the deal. Stop. Somebody should have said, stop the footage. Stop. Cut. The deal was earlier in this chapter, whosoever champion wins, the losers serve the winners. Remember? All of the Philistines were supposed to become servants of Israel. If David lost, vice versa, back and forth. Goliath goes down. Everyone's supposed to throw their armament up and say, we quit. The deal was whoever won wins the deal. Class, the enemy, even emotions within us, will lie to us every time. They'll never keep their word, ever. So in verses 52 to 58, watch what happens. We follow a God of great victory. Now the men of Israel, verse 52, and Judah arose and shouted and pursued. Can you mark that in your Bible? This is great. They arose. I want to ask the question. What were they doing beforehand? Were they sitting down watching this circus? Hey, look, there's a kid going out there. Let's watch this guy get eaten by this giant. By the way, details. David pulls the sword out of Goliath's sheath. And he probably, look, his armaments were huge. We read about them earlier. They're huge. He probably walked up over his chest, down his shoulder, and got the blade onto his neck. He walks backwards, then forwards. Walks backwards, then forwards. But of course, you know, devotionally, we got to put this to our spiritual battles, right? That thing that God's, that's been hassling you in your life, God wants you to cut that thing until it bleeds, you know. And some things in life, people, you got to cut off. You got to just cut them off. Maybe it's that person or that thing. Gosh, I was so sickened today to hear about the internet, that child that was killed. Who had a 9-month friend on the internet for 9 months, internet chat room friend. 17 years old, I think, is the story. I'm picking it up more and more in the news. I just heard it driving, and 9 months internet chat room friend. 9 months! Both of them about the same age. They met. They're talking, having apparently a normal time. We don't know the details exactly. Somehow, they decide to play some kind of crazy game. So he blindfolds her to play this game. And he stabs her some 25, 27 times. Slits her throat. She still wasn't dead. And burned her to death. When asked why he did it, he said, you know, I don't know. Something just snapped inside of me. This is a sick world. Some things need to be cut off. What is it? God's speaking to some of you right now. Cut it off. Is it the girl at the water fountain? Cut it off. Is it that boss or, you know, oh, but he's such a nice guy. Cut it off. Watch it. Watch the thoughts. Watch out. It can turn into a Goliath. Cut it off. It will kill you. And it kills everybody involved. Notice, Goliath's even dead now. And isn't it strange? Again, I argue to know the nature of your God. He says he even weeps over the death of the, what does it say? The wicked. Does God in heaven say, all right, woo-woo, Goliath's dead, Goliath is dead, Goliath. No, the Bible says he weeps over the death of the wicked. There's no victory in this for God, so to speak. You think God was challenged by Goliath? Oh. The whole thing was to teach Israel, teach David, teach us that battles, no matter how big they are fought in the spirit realm. And we've looked to Ephesians chapter 6, 8 through 18, verses 10 through 18, and we always should. But our God is a God of victory. And listen, they arose, they shouted, they pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the wounded Philistines fell among the road of Shaharim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. Verse 54 says, and David, I have this highlighted, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. I want to see that replay. And he put his armor in his tent. Wait. David, why would you put Goliath's armor in your tent? You know why? It wasn't important. Well, wait, is it Goliath's armor or is it David's armor that Saul tried to give him? He gave that back. Did David have any armor? Apparently not. Remember, he's got a sling, he's got a staff, he's got a pouch, he's got stones. Why not parade Goliath's armor around? Look at this breastplate. It's huge. This belonged to the guy that I took down. God says, I'll get the glory and I'll share the glory with nobody else. Yeah. Okay, David, how big was that fish? Man, that fish was so big. How big? Show us the fish. All right. And he holds up this head. David goes from the battlefield and he carries the booty of the battle, the loot. While others were plundering tents, David is putting Goliath's armor in the tent because who cares about that armor? It's nothing. I got his head. I've got his head. And David carries it all the way to Jerusalem. You know, did he put it in a bag or what? I want to know this. David, how did you do that? You're a little guy. That's a big head. Did you drag it? Did you put it in something? You know, did you play with his eyes? You know? Did you put like carrots up his nose? You know? Say, Goliath, talk now. What do you have to say now, Goliath? I don't know. I'm a guy. It's the way we think. But David's going to Jerusalem. He's got this head. He's carrying this head with him. Hey, a moment ago, this head was shooting its mouth off. Yeah, you know what? Watch you, you bunch of Israelis. My gods are going to whip your God. You send this little boy out here. Then, boom. David cuts off his head. Carries his head to Jerusalem. Put his armor in his tent. Verse 55, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this? Who is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. Verse 56, so the king said, inquire whose son this is, whose son this young man is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered and said, I'm the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. I'm just a shepherd. I know we've had a lot of fun with the story. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, with all due respect, are you? It's time to wake up your friend. We're almost done here. Here's the deal. I think we have supersized our problems. Would you like that? Regular or supersized? Well, if you worry about things, they're supersized. give them to God. And they're just regular things. Didn't the Bible teach us that Elijah was a man who suffered the same kind of like passions as we do? Did you know that? Oh, not me. Paul says, well, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul wasn't lying when he said that. No, Paul didn't know me. I'm the chief of sinners. Good, stay that way. Keep thinking that way. That's a good thing to keep thinking. You see, part of Paul's great success is that he knew that he was the chief of sinners, because all Paul was responsible for was to present his sin, not yours, not mine, his sin before God. God would take care of the rest. That's all you're asked to do, and that's what I'm asked to do, is to present my own sin before God. Pastor, will you pray for me that God will forgive me of my sin? Don't ask me to do that. I'll tell you, no. I'll hold your hand right now, but you're going to tell God yourself. Because I can't, nor the Pope, lead you to that place. It's impossible, says the Bible. Can't do it. Can't do it. But I thought you were a pastor, or I thought you were an evangelist, or I thought you were the Pope, or I thought you were a priest, or I thought you were a whatever. You can't do it. Jesus is the mediator between man and God. And we go to Him. No man cometh unto the Father but through me, said Jesus. Wow. So we see the giant killed. You say, well, Pastor Jack, it only took like a couple months to kill him. Yes, it did. And you know what? Maybe there's a reason for all that. We had guest speakers, and I went on vacation, and whatever else came up, things happened. It seems like this giant was just going to live on. But you know what? You know what the cool part about it was? We all knew, didn't we know? Didn't we all know he was going to die? Now, we were really hoping he was going to die tonight. In fact, I noticed there's more out here tonight than normal. You guys came because you didn't think he was going to die tonight. I know you. But the giant is dead. Okay, now listen. We can look at this and say, boy, that must have been something. You know what? There's Goliaths running around in our lives. And they're always yelling at us. And sometimes I think we become too accustomed to their voice. We've almost accepted them living in our house. They yell, they hoot, they holler. They say things about our God. They make fun of the verses that we go to. They tell us things and thoughts. Like, you know what? That applies to the guy next to you, not you. Because God really knows who you are. Who do you think you're fooling? God's smart. He knows you, and you're a bum. You're a creep. You're a fake. God knows who you are. You think you're going to take a Bible verse, and you're going to hang on it and believe in it, and it's going to change your life? The answer is, yeah.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life is a multi-part mini-series taken from our verse-by-verse journey through 1 Samuel. Of course, chapter 17 is the famous historical account of David and Goliath. Tomorrow, Pastor Jack brings us a new series taken from chapter 18 called Friends and Foes of the Faith. That's on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Of course, that's the name of our Monday night television program here. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is also the name of our free app for all your mobile devices. Download it today when you get a chance. But also, we'd like to introduce you now to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, of course, you'll always be able to get the recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, but there are other tabs and buttons you can take advantage of: Real Radio broadcasts, Pastor Jack's devotionals, resources that'll help you grow in the knowledge and admonition of our Lord, and a whole lot more. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's our new website. Visit us when you get a chance, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.